Actually, the one.
You could just say thank you. All right, so we'll say. All right, so good morning. Let's begin. So first of all, welcome to. Yeah, we're gonna learn a little bit this morning. If that's all right. I know I don't want to interfere with the omelet stations or anything else. Welcome to Maseches Yoma. Again, a very special thank you to Ari for arranging the coffee for the beautiful spread. Beautiful spread. Mishkoya. Don't trust your conscience. You'll eat at home. All right. Okay, so we begin Maseches Yoma. So again, as you can imagine, based on the title of the Masechta, so obviously much of this Masechta will be devoted to Yom Kippur, although the truth is, a lot of it's devoted also to just general sacrificial information as well. So we begin. Beis Amud Aleph. Shivas Yomim Kodim Yom HaKippurim Mafishin Kohen Gadol Mibeis Sol Lishkas Parhedrin. 7 days before Yom Kippur, they would go ahead literally and they would separate the Kohen Gadol from his home and they would sequester him to the Lishkas Parhedrin, to the Parhedrin chamber. Take a look at Rashi. We're back to Rashi, by the way, also, which is nice. So Rashi says, Shivas Yom Kodim Yom HaKippurim Mafishin Kohen Gadol Shekhal Avodis Yom HaKippurim Enak Shira Elabom. Because all of the avodah of Yom Kippur is only kosher through the Kohen Gadol, which is quite interesting. Meaning, although again, normally with other temple service, you could use a Kohen head. Yo, with Yom Kippur, it could only be done through the Kohen Gadol. Kediyalef Baharios Parak Basra Dichsiv Gav Yom Kippurim VeChiper HaKohen Asher Yimshach Oso UBeGemara Mefarish Lama Mafrishin. Okay, so number one, we know the avodah can only be done through the Kohen Gadol. Therefore, they sequester him for 7 days. Lishkas Parhedrin. So Rashi points out Kach Shema. This was the name of the chamber. Now, also, I'll show you something interesting, just as an aside. I don't know if they're printing these gemaras anymore, but two cycles ago, they printed this Ma'oros Hadaf Gemara, which has beautiful pictures in the back. I used to say it even also. So, Lishkas Parhedrin, what's interesting about it is, we'll see more in depth, but there's an entranceway to the Lishkas Parhedrin from directly outside the Beis HaMikdash as well. So remember, again, we saw the Beis HaMikdash, obviously, of the temple compound, which is comprised of the Azara, the courtyard, as well as the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And then remember, we pointed out that there's another courtyard outside, surrounded by a wooden gate called the Sarug. And then there's an enclosed courtyard. So apparently, there was a stairway that led right to the Lishkas Parhedrin from outside the Beis HaMikdash as well. So you did not have to enter into the temple compound to get to the Lishkas Parhedrin, but rather, again, you can access the stairway from the outside. We'll see why that's important as we go on. Umaskinin lo, back to the Mishnah. Umaskinin lo, Kohen Acher Tachto. And they appoint another Kohen Gadol, or I should say a backup Kohen Gadol, instead of the initial Kohen Gadol. Shema, Ye'erev Opsul, because we're concerned, we're both saying, remember, after we just got finished saying that you have to go ahead, that the Avodah of Yom Kippur could only be done through the Kohen Gadol, after they made that statement, obviously then you need to have a backup plan also should something happen to the Kohen Gadol himself. Let's say some type of psul. Both say that psul could be a couple of different things. He could die. That's number one. Rahmanul Islam. Or he could become tameh. And that's the concern. That's the thing they were a little bit more concerned about. He'll become tameh. And remember, both say, depending on the types of tumah, he might not be ready for service on Yom Kippur. Therefore, they appoint the backup. Look at Rashi. Umaskinilom. Umazminin Kohen Acher Lios Kohen Gadol Tachto. They appoint a backup Kohen Gadol. Imeerabo Psul Keri Oshar Tumah Ma'akvim Yilavol Hamikdash. Because we also remember when we think of Tumah, so we think of Tumah again from an external source. But remember again, there's also something called Tumas Keri, which means a man becomes Tumah through a seminal emission. That's also Tumah. So there could be certain circumstances that could occur that are even beyond the Kohen Gadol's control. Therefore, you have to have a backup. So he goes weiter. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Huda says, Af Isha Acheres Maskinin Lo. They even go ahead and make a backup wife. Because again, the halach is that the Kohen Gadol has to be married at the time of the Avodah. And let's say, God forbid, something happens. His wife dies. So if his wife dies, he might be in a total state of perfect Tumah, but he can't do the Avodah. They would create a backup wife for him. Shema Tamos Ishto. Lest his real wife die, Shnei Emar, the Torah says, V'chiper Ba'ada U'ba'ad Beiso. And the Torah says, when speaking about the Avodah of Yom Kippur, he shall atone for himself and atone for his household. So also, we already had this Gemara before in Shabbos, Bayis refers to what? Beso zu ishto, which of course again is a profound statement on many, many levels. That ultimately the man's home is his wife. Therefore, the Rabbi Yehuda understands that he has to have beso, he has to be married at the time of the Avodah. And we're supposed to, again, nobody disputes that contention. Everyone agrees that the Kohen Gadol has to be married at the time of the Avodah. However, Amru Lo, the Rabbanon said to Rabbi Yehuda, Im Kain, if you're going to be Choshesh for this, meaning if you're going to be Choshesh for Misa, then Ein Ledover Sof. Then there's no end. See, what's like, it's a fundamental Yisod. We actually spoke about this in Shkalim a little bit as well. There's a concept of Cheskas Chaim, that we assume that if somebody is alive, that chazok remains. We'll see, for example, when we get to Gittin. So we'll have situations of a baal, a husband who sends a get from Medina Sayam. Let's say he's living in a different country than his wife. So he sends a get, he dispatches a get to his wife overseas. So the Gemara asks Shaila, how do you know that by the time the get gets to the woman, that the husband's still alive? Because remember, again, ain't get la'achar mis. You can't send a get after the husband is dead. There's no post-mortem get. How do you know still alive? So the Gemara says, there's a chazokah. Chazok is that if somebody is alive, again, unless we know to the contrary, we assume that they're alive. So what the Rabbanan is saying to Abihudi is, if you're really choshesh, if you're really going to start being choshesh that people are going to die, then in reality, no amount of pre-planning is ever going to save you from that. Because who's to say, if you go ahead and if you're afraid that the Kohen Gadol's wife is going to die, and therefore you set up a backup, Mrs. Kohen Gadol. So therefore the same chashash should be what? She's going to die. And the same chashash that says that the wife of the Kohen Gadol is going to die, is the same chashash that would say anybody else could die. Im kein, in lo davar sof. There's no end to those worries. So that's the Mishnah. Says the Gemara. Tanan hasam. So also we learned there. Shivas yamim kodim sreifa sapara. Hayu mafrishin kohen hasreifa sapara mi beso. Lelishka sha'apne habira. So also say another very interesting Gemara. Para aduma. 7 days before they would burn the para aduma, they would go ahead and they would separate the Kohen who was going to go ahead and burn the para, who was going to do the avodah, mibeso from his home, lelishka sha'apnei habira tzafon mizracha, and they had a special room for him that was in the bira. We'll see what bira means in just a little bit. It was in the bira tzafona mizracha, and it was in the northeast corner. Ulishkas ha'even haisa nikres, and it was Ulishkas beis ha'even haisa nikres, and it was called this, just like again the chamber where the Kohen Gadol was sequestered was called the Lishkas Parhejin for reasons we'll see later on. So this was called the Lishkas beis ha'even, the chamber of stone. So before we go on, so what's happening over here is the following. What's happening over here is that they would go. Now I want to point something out. The Gemara is just trying to bring up another similar case of where we sequester a Kohen prior to doing an avodah. Now, I want to point out to you also, remember, para aduma does not have to be done by the Kohen Gadol. It can be done by the Kohen Gadol. Historically, it was often done by the Kohen Gadol, but it does not have to be done by the Kohen Gadol. In fact, the only time that there was an insistence on a particular type of Kohen for the para aduma was by the first para aduma. Who did the first para aduma? Elazar, right? So Rashi HaKadosh there points out mitzvasa biskan. For the first paraduma, there was a particular insistence on using the assistant Kohen Gadol. But for subsequent paros adumos, there was not that type of insistence. So whichever Kohen it is, whether it's the Kohen Gadol, the Skan Gadol, or whoever else is doing the paraduma, the Gemara now here quotes the Mishnah that lays down the procedure. 7 days before the date of that they were going to do the paraduma, they sequestered him. I will say the reason I mentioned this to you is because if you remember again, we saw where was the paraduma, where was it done, where was the service done? Harazesim, right? Now remember, Harazesim is also called Haramishcha, the mountain of anointing. So again, same idea because first of all, there were certain kings who were anointed on Harazesim, and also because again, the olives was ultimately used for the anointing as well. So I'll say what's interesting to point out over here, if you remember again, we saw in Shkalim that they used to build a bridge from the Temple Mount to Haran Mishcha. Who built that bridge often? Right, the Kohanim Gedolim. So I'm just pointing out that even though the Kohanim Gedolim took the pride in building the bridge, lav davka, that they were always the ones who were actually doing the paraduma. Okay, in any event, 7 days prior to the Sreifa of the para, every once in a while, it's my job, it's part of my Dafyomi agreement with the Dafyomi Commission to make sure to test your knowledge of previous Masechta. So Got a lot of work to do. All right. So now, so says the Gemara. So 7 days prior to the actual target date of the Paratuma, they would separate out to Kohen who was going to do the Avoda from his home. They would sequester him in this chamber called the Lishkas Beis HaEven. Velama Nikra Shma Lishkas Beis HaEven. And why did they call it the Chamber of Stone? Shekol Ma'aseha Biklei Gilolim U'Biklei Avonim U'Biklei Adama. Because we'll say, interestingly enough, everything that was done with the Paraduma was done either Klei Gilalim, now we'll say Klei Gilalim, Rashi points out over here, Sifiei Bakar, Mefarshim U'Menachos. Now, Klei Gilalim literally are utensils that are made from animal manure. So apparently what they used to do is you would take manure, I guess you'd fashion it into a utensil, and you'd bake it off in the sun, and it would harden. So, or clay adama, clay avanim is stone utensils. Clay adama is earthenware, but I've also said there's different kinds of earthenware. As opposed to normal earthenware that was fired up in an oven to be hardened, this type of clay adama, see, that's only what we call klicheres. Klicheres means earthenware that's baked. This type of clay adama was actually just baked in the sun. It was made from mud. It was baked in the sun. So these are the only types of utensils that were used for a paraduma. So no gold, no silver, either you know, the dung utensils, the stone utensils, or the earth utensils. My timer, I will say, why would we use these type of utensil paraduma? Listen to this. Kevan ditvul yom kasha bapara. Because I will say again, by paraduma is a very interesting leniency, which is what? A tvul yom is kasha paraduma. I will say, what's a tvul yom? A tvul yom is someone who became tameh and that went to the mikvah. But we know that under normal circumstances, in order to become fully tar for sacrificial purposes, what do you need? You need heref shemesh. You need nightfall. So para aduma apparently is the exception to this rule. That even a kohen gadol who's a tvul yom, meaning he went to the mikvah, but he has not yet had tvul heref shemesh. He has not yet had sunset. It's still the day of his tefillah, still the day of his immersion. He is permitted to go ahead and do the service of the paraduma. Look at Rashi. The Tvul Yom, Rashi says, L'kamon yolet beperek taraf pekalpi. We'll see this later on in Daf Mem Gimel. V'hiza hatahor ala tamei. So we'll see the Gemara. We'll learn this out in Mirat Hashem later on. This, now listen to this, Rabosai. This is going to blow your mind. Because I think this is off the charts. This nan, mitamen hayu hakoin hasari pesapara. Umat bilin oso. Rabbi said, listen to this. They would purposely defile, they would purposely be metame, the Kohen who is going to do the avoda of para aduma. They would intentionally be metame him. Why would they intentionally be metame him? He says, lahotzi miliban shel tzedukim. In order to go ahead and totally, lahotzi miliban literally means to totally discredit the halachic position of the tzedukim. Remember, the tzedukim were the group of Jews that only believed in Torah Shebichsav, not in Torah Shebal Peh. What did the tzedukim say? Shayu omrim b'me'urave Hashemesh haisen na'asis. Because the tzedukim rabbosi were of the opinion that only a totally pure kohen could do the avoda paraduma. The tzedukim felt that a tvul yom was not permitted to go ahead and do the avoda. So we'll say, listen to this. Take a look. Listen to this. So now, what we're going to see, and we'll see this later on Daf Mem, Rashi points Mem, Gimel Amud Beis, we'll see later on that Chazal learned out a drasha. Torah Shebal Peh teaches us that what? That even a Kohen who is a Tvul Yom, which is, remember, a Kohen who is Tameh, but went to the Mikvah, normally Tumah requires sunset as well. But by Parah Aduma, there's a special drasha, Torah Shebal Peh, oral tradition, that tells us that even a Kohen who is a Tvul Yom could do the Avodah. The Tzedukim, who didn't believe in Torah Shebal Peh, said what? That they couldn't, not good. Now, boss, you have to understand something. So why do we care about the Tzedukim? There were times throughout history where there were Tzeduki Kohanim Gedolim. This is specifically during Second Temple era, because the Tzedukim had incredible sway with the Romans. Remember, especially during the Second Temple era, so remember, the office of the Kohen Gedol was often bought by the highest bidder. It's hard for us to imagine, but there were tzedukim or kohanim gidolim. So Chazal made a concerted effort that whenever possible, we do whatever we can to discredit the tzeduki position. So what did they do? It sounds wild. They would be metame, can you imagine this? They'd be metame the Kohen Gadol on the very day that he was to do the paraduma. They would take him to the mikvah. He would now have the status of a tvul yom. And what? and he would do the avoda as a tevul yom to discredit the halachic position of the tzedukim.
Is a tevul yom considered to be tahor at that point?
No, he's tameh.
Still tameh.
He's in a state. It's called tevul yom. That's the state. The state of tevul yom is someone who's gone to the mikvah and has gone ahead and not yet had hair of shemesh. So again, it's different than a person who hasn't gone to the mikvah at all. But again, and under normal circumstances, I want to point out, under normal circumstances, a kohen who's a tevul yom would not be permitted to do any part of temple service. You would not do any sacrificial service. Para aduma is an exception to the rule based on a drasha that we'll see later on. So Chazal wanted to show the primacy of Torah Shebaal Peh. They wanted to show the power of the oral tradition to purposely metameh him. However, listen to this. I just want to point out something. How were they metamehim? How were they metamehim? So look at Tosa for just a moment. So Tosa says, Lahotzi mi liban shel tzedukim. So Tosa says, Lav b'tumadoraisa. There's no way that they were metamehim b'tumadoraisa. So lav b'tumadoraisa metamehim. To lahav mazals like kulihai. Because that's a bit much. Adraba, aminam parak, in darshin, big de ochle, koe, kodesh, midras lachatos. Elakid, it's not a parak, gil, don't say aspara. Somchu yidehem al rosho. In how they are matamim rabosai, that other kohanim who themselves did not yet go to the mikvah would place their hands on top of the kohen who was going to do the avoda. Bless you, do the avoda for the paraduma. But omnum they would say to him, ishi kohen gadol, raid tevul achas, go down and go to the mikvah. Demachmas shenogin bo chashivinan leik chashivan leiketomei tumadirabanan. The echav kohanim chashivei tamei legabe didei. So I will say, listen to this. So according to Tosis, the way they would be metamehim is kohanim who had not yet gone to the mikvah that day would touch him, and thereby convey to him a tumah derabanan. So according to Tosis, the tumah over here is derabanan. I will say the other Yishonim disagree with Tosis and they say not true. How would they be metamehim? They'd be metamehim tumas sheretz. They would take a sheretz, right? They would go ahead and roadkill, right? They'd go ahead and take a little, right, based on this roadkill, they'd go ahead and they'd have them have contact with it. It become Tumas Sheretz. Most say Tumas Sheretz, remember, is a one-day Tumah. All you need to do is you need to go to the mikvah. You need Hair of Shemesh, and boom, you're Tahor. So they would be Mitamim. So both say, so just a fundamental machlokes. Would they be Mitamim Tumah Doraisa or Tumah Drabanim? Okay, for our purposes, again, it's machlokes. The point is that they would have him do the service of Para Duma in a state of Tvul Yom. But listen to this. However, v'takin alei rabbanon klei glolim klei avanim klei adama dilo lekab letuma. But Rabbi said, yet here's the interesting anomaly. So on one hand, they would purposely be metame the kohen gadol or the whoever the kohen is doing the avoda. They purposely metame him in order to show that even a tevul yom could do the avoda. Yet they were makbid to only use utensils that would not be mekabel tuma. What type of utensils they use for paraduma? Remember, we saw the dung utensils, stone utensils, or earthenware utensils. Come denominator among all those utensils, they are not tuma receptive. They're not mekabel tuma. So, we'll say, see the anomaly? On one hand, we're allowing the coin, not only allowing, we are creating a situation where the coin will be a tevul yom, yet we're only going to use utensils that are not mekabel tuma. Why? Kihechi delo lezalzalupa. In order that, see, Rabbi say, here's the danger. The danger is if you have a kohen who is a tevul yom doing the avoda, what could people easily say? Oh, we're not going to take the paraduma so seriously. If the kohen gadol can even do it while he's a tevul yom, obviously it's not so important. So Chazal had to leverage that. How did they leverage that? No, it is important. How are we going to show everybody it's important? We're only going to use utensils that themselves are not mekabel tuma. So it's the two sides of the scale. On one hand, we're going to have a coin as a tevul yom in order to discredit the position of the tzedukim. On the other hand, to maintain the highest level of regard and ritual concern for paraduma, we're only going to use utensils that themselves are not paraduma, are not mekabel tuma. So we'll say that's why, again, the lishka, the chamber to which the coin gadol was, or to which the coin was sequestered 7 days prior to doing the paraduma, was called what? The lishkas base ha'eben, because it was the chamber in which the utensils for the paraduma service were housed, and those utensils were stone-like utensils. In that what? They were not mekabel tuma. So the Gemara says mashnat tzfonu mizracha. So why is it? Says the Gemara. Why is it that this chamber was on the tzfonu mizracha? Why is it that it was on the northeast corner? So the Gemara says that it's good kasha. Kevan dechatasi, because I also remember. Para Aduma is called a chatas. Torah calls it a chatas, even though what? It's not a chatas per se. It's not a sin offering, But the Torah labels it as a chatas. Therefore, what? Listen to this, Rabbi Sai. The chatas tu'una tsefona. A chatas has to be slaughtered in the northern end of the Beis HaMikdash. Uksiv ba, and it says about the paraduma, el nochach pnei oal moed. First, remember, we spoke about this during Shkalim. Where the para aduma is shechted on Haramishchan, Harazesim, right? Across the valley from the Beis HaMikdash. But yet what? It has to be facing the entranceway of the Beis HaMikdash, meaning the site of where they shechted the paraduma. I think I mentioned it during Shkalim. You could go to this site today, the Kamavish, now it's a monastery, but you can mamish go and they even unearthed the mikvah there, which was probably the mikvah that the Kohen used. I don't know, maybe it was right, but maybe to make him into a tefillah yom, I don't know. But they mamish unearthed a mikvah that sits right opposite the Temple Mount, that we know exactly the position of the Beis HaMikdash, that would have looked right into the entrance of the Beis HaMikdash. That's the site of where they went ahead and they shechted the Parah Aduma. Takinu l'Rabbanan lishkat safona misracha, kihechi d'lehevi hekira. So both say, since ultimately a chatas has to be slaughtered in the north, and since again the paraduma has to be slaughtered again also facing the area of the Beis HaMikdash, so essentially what they did is they set up his lishka in a directional way that would remind him of how he was supposed to do the avoda. Take a look at Rashi. Rashi says the chatas tuuna tzafon, chatos hekrevos b'mizbeach nishchatos b'tzafon, velo shezuz tuuna tzafon, sharing nishchata b'haramishchat. And I will say, interestingly enough, we know that Lemaisa, a normal chatos, would have to be slaughtered on the northern part of the Beis HaMikdash. Now, obviously, the paradum itself is not being slaughtered in the Beis HaMikdash. Look at the next Rashi, uksiv, bepara el nochach p'nei o'amoid, ba'asaz dama, shu'omi b'haramishcha, o'miskabin v'rob pischo shel ohel, shu'hu b'kosel mizrachi. So, Bosa, again, when you were ultimately looking into the Beis HaMikdash, interestingly enough, you were looking into the Beis HaMikdash through the eastern gate. Through the eastern gate. Kihechi de lehevi tekeira, ledas shohofrash sham kide lahatil alav avodas para, hakruya chatos, utuuna mizrach, the yasim lohu leiv lihios zoriz b'maaseha b'seir avodasa. So we'll say essentially what we have over here is we have it in the northeastern corner. So what does that do? It reminds him of the fact that lemaisa, the service that he's about to go ahead and do is called the chatos. A chatos will only be slaughtered in the northern part. His is a little bit different because he's going to be facing into the east of the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, so the Gemara goes weiter. The Gemara says, "Uksiba nochvan." My bira. So we'll say, remember again, when the Gemara quoted the Mishnah about Paraduma, the Mishnah said that they sequester the coin to a chamber that is al penei habira. So what's the bira? Amar Rabbi Bar Rav Chana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Makom Hayo Bahar Abayis, Ubira Shmo. So Rabbi Bar Rav Chana and Rabbi Yochanan says, we'll say what? That there was a particular area on the Har Abayis, it was called the Bira. Now, Bar Rav said, Bira literally means tower. So first opinion says that there was a place in the Beis HaMikdash called the Bira. Rish Lakish says, no, Kol HaMikdash Kulo Kari Bira. Rabbi said, Rish Lakish says that the entire Beis HaMikdash is called Bira. Bira is just another name for the Beis HaMikdash. Shene Emar, Habira Asher Hachinosi. Because as the pasuk says, Rabbi said, Divra Hayamim, Ula Shlomo Bini, Tain Leibov. So this is David HaMelech talking about the idea, Habira Asher Hachinosi. Literally, the Bira, the Mikdash that I prepared, Rabbi said, this is talking about, if you take a look in Rashi says, Habira Asher Hachinosi, Asher Zimanti La Mokum Goren Aravna, Livno Saba. The David Ka'amar Lahai Krab Divra Hayam. So Rabbi said, David HaMelech bought a threshing floor from Aravna HaYevusi. So remember, the Yevusi were living in Yerushalayim until David HaMelech went ahead and conquered it. There's still members of the Yevusi remain settled there. So David HaMelech bought a threshing floor from Aravna HaYevusi. Why did he buy a threshing floor from Aravna HaYevusi? Because if you can imagine this, Aravna HaYevusi was living on the site that would later on become the Beis HaMikdash. So David HaMelech purchases the area that would one day be the Beis HaMikdash. Remember, David HaMelech wanted to build the Beis HaMikdash, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, not going to happen. But David HaMelech, when he buys that land, he says, Habira Asher Achinosi. I have bought the area on which the Bira, I prepared the area for the Bira. So what do you see from here? That the Beis HaMikdash is referred to as the Bira. Okay, so the Gemara says, Menahani Mili. From where do we know these words? Now, what words are we referring to? Look at Rashi. Menahani Mili. Deboi Prishnam Kippur Lepara. Now, both say, here's what we know. We have two Mishnayos that teach us a similar concept. Namely, our Mishnah over here in Yuma teaches us that the Kohen Gadol is that the Kohen Gadol is sequestered 7 days. Excuse me, prior to Yom Kippur. And now we have another Mishnah in Parah that taught us what? That the Kohen is going to do the Avodah of the Paradum was also sequestered for 7 days prior to Paradum. So the Gemara says, where do we know this from? See, so meaning Mishnah, Rav understands they will say, Mishnayis tell us information. Often they don't tell us what? Why? They don't tell us reasoning. So now, okay, we have two Mishnayis that told us two pieces of information. Where do we know this concept? That a Kohen is sequestered for 7 days prior to Parah Aduma or prior to Yom Kippur. Mm-hmm. So the Gemara says the following: Amar Rav Minyumi bar Chilkia, Amar Rav Nechasya bar Idi, Amar Rav Yochanan, Amar Kra. Listen to this, Rabbosai. Pasuk says, "Kasher asa bayom hazeh, siva Hashem lasos lechaper aleichem." Literally, as you have done on this day, God has commanded you lasos to do lechaper aleichem to atone for you. And Rabbosai, where is this pasuk? This is in Chumash VaYikra. This is by the Miluim. Now, if you remember again, in the consecration of the Beis HaMikdash, of the Mishkan of the Kohanim, there was an 8-day process, actually, right? And what happened? For 7 days, the Kohanim were sequestered and prepared. Now, again, when I say Kohanim, it's not a very large pool, it's Aaron and his sons, but they were sequestered, Aaron and his four sons. Remember, this is before the death of Nadav and Avihu. So for 7 days, Aaron, Nadav, Avihu, Elazar, and Itamar, how do we know they're sequestered? Because what does the Torah say? Al Pesach or Al Moed, they were kept by the Beis Hamikdash. Excuse me, they were kept by the Mishkan. So they were sequestered for 7 days, and then what happens? Bayom Hashmini. Then what happens on the 8th day? There was an avoda. So the Gemara we're going to say wants to use this as the paradigm. We have a biblical paradigm for the notion of being sequestered for 7 days prior to doing some type of unique avoda. And where does the biblical proof come from? Aaron and his sons. So says the Gemara. Listen to this. So the Gemara is going to dash in this pasuk. So la'asos, what does it mean? I will say, if it's interesting that the pasuk itself has extra verbiage because the pasuk reads kasher asa bayom hazeh tziva Hashem la'asos lechaper aleichem. Now it could have just said kasher asa bayom hazeh tziva Hashem. Period. Why does it have to say la'asos to do lechaper aleichem? So the Gemara is going to understand that la'asos and lechaper aleichem refer to future events that would have the same process. La'asos, what does it mean to do? Elu ma'ase para. That refers to paraduma. Paraduma, okay. Lechaper, to atone. Elu ma'ase yom kippurim. That refers to Yom Kippur. So the Gemara says the following. We'll say, take a look at Rashi for just a moment. Kasher asa. Rashi says, quoting the pasuk from the Miluim. B'miluim, shetziva osam lifrosh mibateihem zayin yomim. Shene emar. Upesach oel moit hishvu yomam balaila ubashmini avdu shine emar bayi bayomashmini kara ksiv karval mizbeach kasher tziva lasos. So we'll say again. So now what we're saying is the miluim, the consecration of the Kohanim before the activation of their service for the Mishkan, serves as the paradigm for a 7-day sequestration. Sequestration, a word? Sequestration and preparation. So now, the miluim serve as the paradigm for sequestration and preparation. And here's what we know. There are extra words in that pasuk. So the Gemara says, remember, we'll say there are no extra words. See, the extra words refer to future events that would mimic this same process of sequestration and preparation. La'asos refers to paraduma. The chaper aleichem refers ultimately to Yom Kippur. So the Gemara says, okay. Now the question is going to be, why does it have to refer to both things? Maybe it can just refer to one thing. So the Gemara says, I understand why the whole pasuk can't refer to paraduma. Why? Because lechaper ksiv upara la vas kaparihi. Supposed to understand why the whole pasuk. Remember, supposed to say our shiloh of this pasuk is what do you do with the phrase of laasos lechaper aleichem? So now the Gemara is suggesting laasos is paraduma. L'chaper aleichem is Yom Kippur. So the Gemara says, well, maybe that whole phrase refers to one thing. How do you know it refers to two things? So if it's going to refer to one thing, it can't be para aduma. Why? Because it says the word kapara, atonement. And Rabbi say what? Para aduma is not a din in atonement. Para aduma is a din in what? Purification, not atonement. Ela emo kuli krabi Yom Kippurim. But maybe lasos l'chaper aleichem refers just to Yom Kippur. And it's just Yom Kippur that has this concept of a 7-day sequestration. Preparation period. So sister will say, Amri, no, I'll tell you why paraduma is included. Amri, yolif tziva tziva. Oh, Because Rabbi said there's another Gzeirah Shava. What's the other Gzeirah Shava? Because Rabbi said, now what are we trying to do? We need to somehow make sure that Parah Aduma is included in this Rasha. So how do we get Parah Aduma included? Yolav Tziva Tziva. Ksiv Hacha Tziva Hashem La'asos. It says, Rabbi said, by the Miluim, by the pasuk that we just quoted by Aaron and his sons, the 7-day sequestration preparation period prior to Avodah and Mishkan, it says, Tziva Hashem La'asos. Uksiv Hasim, and it says by Parah Aduma, Zos Chukas HaTorah. Asher Tziva Hashem. And what does it say by Parah Duma Rabosai? It says by Parah Duma, this is the statute of the Torah, Asher Tziva Hashem, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has commanded. So what do you see over here? There's so Rabosai, already what we're saying over like this is what? Malahalon Parah, Afkan Parah. So just like again, Tziva by the Parash Chukas as the Parah Duma, so too the Tziva in the Pasuk by the Miluim also includes Parah. Makan Prisha, Aflahalan Prisha, just like by the Miluim, you need a 7-day sequestration preparation. So too by the Paradum, you need a 7-day sequestration preparation. So Rabbi said, what have we just done? So Rabbi said, what are we trying to do? What we need to do is we're trying to say, why doesn't the phrase of La'asos the Chaper Aleichem just apply to Yom Kippur? Forget about Paraduma. Rabbi says, no. Because Paradum already has an in earlier on in the Pasuk. So what do we told is the two-pronged limud. The two-pronged limud is like this. That we have Gzeir Shav of Tziva Tziva. It says Tziva by Parah Aduma, commanded. And it says Tziva by the Miluim. And we say, oh, just like there's a 7-day sequestration preparation period by Miluim, there's also a 7-day sequestration preparation period by Parah Aduma. So we'll say, now understand what that does. What that does is then, by the phrase of Ka'ash Asher Tziva, Kasher Asno La'asos L'chaper Aleichem. Now we can what? We can say that the word La'asos is referring to what Rabbi say is referring to Paraduma, because you got Paraduma back in the Lima through the Gzeir Shava. Right, so that we'll see that. Good. So the Gemara says, well, one second. The Ema Tziva Yom Kippur. Maybe the Gzeir Shava shouldn't be between Paraduma and Miluim. Maybe it's between Yom Kippur and Miluim. After all, Dichsiv Vayas Kaasher Tziva Hashem Es Moshe. After all, the pasuk says by Yom Kippur that he did, meaning Aaron did, all that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had commanded Moshe. So what do you see over here, Rabbosai? What do you see over here? You see Tziva by Yom Kippur also. So maybe the Gzeir Shav of Tziva Tziva is between Miluim and Yom Kippur. And once again, what are we doing? We're knocking Parah Aduma out of the equation. Oh, to which the Gemara says, not so fast. Donin Tziva Delefnei Asiya, Mitziva Delefnei Asiya, Vein Donin Tziva Delaachar Asiya, Mitziva Delefnei Asiya. We'll say, listen to this. So the Gemara suggests the following. The Tziva of Yom Kippur is a little bit different. Why? Because the Torah uses Tziva of Yom Kippur comes after the Lashon of Asiya. It says, Vaya'as Ka'asher Tziva, which means the action is before the word command. So all the Gemara saying, I will say, under normal circumstances, we wouldn't care about that. But over here, what's unique? Both by Parah Aduma, as well as by the Miluim, the Tziva comes before the action. Tziva comes before the action. Remember, because by Parah Aduma, it's what? Kasher Asa Bayom Hazeh Tziva Hashem La'asos. So again, even though there's an Asa beforehand, we're focusing on the La'asos over here. Tziva Hashem La'asos. And by Parah Aduma, what does it say? Zos Chukas HaTorah Asher Tziva. And then afterwards, it's Vichbe Lecha. So both by Parah Aduma and Miluim, the Tziva comes before the action. By Yom Kippur, the Asa comes before the Tziva. So the Gemara says, so therefore what? Essentially, the Tziva of Parah Aduma more resembles what? The Tziva of Miluim more resembles the Tziva of Parah Aduma than it does what? Than the Tziva of the Yom Kippur. Therefore, it makes more sense to structure the Gzeir Shava between Parah Aduma and between Miluim than it does to do it between Miluim and Yom Kippur. Now, also remember, Yom Kippur is included in the drasha of Miluim. Yom Kippur is included in the drasha of Miluim, regardless. Why? Lechaper. Because remember, again, you've got that word that by definition, that so it's already in the parasha. So the point is, we don't really need a Gzeir Shava to get Yom Kippur into the miluim paradigm of sequestration preparation. It's already in there by virtue of the word lechaper. We're trying to get it, we're trying to kind of get para aduma in there, because remember, la'asos is a nondescript word that may or may not refer to para aduma. It could just as easily refer to Yom Kippur also. So the Gemara says, okay, I'm going to tell you how to get it in there. I'm going to get it in there through a gzeirah shava of tziva tziva, which then creates a halachic bridge between the miluim and the para aduma. For what purpose? 7 days sequestration and preparation. The Gemara wanted to suggest maybe tziva tziva is the gzeirah shava between para aduma and Yom Kippur. Why would we need that additional gzeirah shava? We'll talk about later on. To which the Gemara says, no, it's not a gzeirah shava. Why? Because the tziva of miluim does not resemble the tziva of Yom Kippur. Because the tziva of miluim has tziva before action. The tziva of Yom Kippur has action before tziva. But it does resemble the tziva of paraduma, which does what Rabbi Osai also has tziva before action. To which the Gemara says, but one second. The ema, tziva de karbanos, dechsev biyom tzavoso es b'nei Yisrael. Interestingly enough, Rabbi Osai, maybe it refers, so maybe, listen to how fascinating this suggestion is. Maybe there's a gzeirah shava of tziva, the tziva of the miluim, to tzavoso, which is the same shoresh, of karbanos. Rabbi Osai, what does it mean of karbanos? Karbanos in general. The Rabbi Osai, what would that gzeirah shava do? Look at Rashi. Last white line in Rashi on the top. Kigon karbanos diyachid, dechsev bahem. No, I'm sorry, top line in Rashi. Listen to this suggestion. Maybe we should create a gzeirah shava between miluim and karbonos in general, because they both have the word tziva. And I will say, what would that do if you created a gzeirah shava between miluim and karbonos in general? What would that do? That would say that any kohen who's going to do any sacrificial service requires what? 7 days. Remember our term? Sequestration preparation. Fine, say it 10 times fast. Right? Sequestration preparation. Right? So again, maybe the gzeirah shava of tziva tziva from the para aduma to general, because remember again, by it just says by yom tzavosos b'nei Yisrael, to general nondescript statement by all karbanos. Maybe that gzeirah shava says what? That for any karbanos, what you really require is what? You really require 7 days sequestration preparation for every kohen who's going to do avoda. So the Gemara says, no. I'll tell you why that doesn't work. Because danin tziva mitziva, ve'in danin tzavoso mitziva. To which the Gemara says, I'll tell you why we don't like that drasha. Because we're going to darshin tziva tziva and not tziva tzavoso. Meaning, when making a gzeirah shava, what Rabbi Osai, we like to use similar words. And the truth is, as much as they share a common shorish, it's not the same words. The Gemara says, really, is that true? Umay nafkamina, certainly now you're a stickler for gzeirah shavas with similar words. You make gzeirah shavas like madmen all the time without similar. I mean, it's an exaggeration, but I'm going to say, meaning we make gzeirah shavas all the time with dissimilar words. The Gemara says, I'll give you the greatest example of this. The Gemara says, Ubaha koin, zoish, excuse me, Vahatanya, we learned. Rabbi Shmuel says, the Shava coin, Uba coin, Zohi Shiva, Zohi Bia. And Rabbi says, listen to this. The Shava coin, Uba coin, Rabbi says, means like this. This is about Tzara'as Habatim, by Tzara'as of the home. So the halacha is a coin goes ahead, comes in. Let's say so I call up the coin, it looks like there's Tzara'as in my house. So what does the coin do? The coin goes ahead, he looks at it. They remove the brick. They remove the brick or whatever, the stone that has the Tzara'as on it. They remove the surrounding mortar. They go ahead and what? They put in a new one. And then what happens? He goes. He leaves. He comes back a week later. And when he comes back a week later, if the Tzara'as is back, they repeat the same process once more. The Gemara says, how do we know that when the coin comes back a week later, he repeats the same process as the first time? The Gemara says, oh, we make a gzeirah shava. What's the gzeirah shava? The shava coin, uba coin. That when the coin comes back, it's the same process as what? As when he came the first time. They will say, you understand what we've just done? We've just made a gzeirah shava with two different words. Now, how do you make a gzeirah shava like that? Because the processes are the same. Both refer to arriving at the home. So we'll say, what's the point the Gemara is making over here? Take a look at Rashi. Zoi Shiva, Zoi Bia. Ladun gzeirah shava. Zemizeh. We learn a gzeirah shava from one process to the other. Ma Shiva. Choleitz. Vekotze. Vitoch. Just like when he returns, he goes ahead and he removes the stone, removes the surrounding mortar, and places a new one. So too, the first time he did the same thing as well. So what do you see from here? That you can make a gzeirah shava mamish from Rabbi Osai from this similar words. Remember, the gzeirah shava here is switched from the words shav and ba, shav and ba, shav and ba, shav and ba. Right? So this is meaning, again, obviously, they're similar verbs in that they both mean coming. Returning also means coming. so what do you see over here? And now you're giving me a hard time about siva, savoso, same word. So the Gemara says, no. Hani mili hecha deleka dedamile. Aval hecha deika dedamile midami le yafina. To which the Gemara says, no, you have to understand something. So yes, we sometimes will make a gzera shava from dissimilar words. But that's only when what? When there's not a similar word with which to make a gzera shava. So we'll say again, like for example, in Shiva Bia, so there we don't have any other words to create a gzera shava. Those are the closest words we have. In this case over here of tsavos, tsavoso, you do have other tsivas. So because you could compare it to other tsivas, therefore what? We won't compare it to tsavoso. So essentially what the Gemara is saying is the laws of gzera shava are such that when you can make a gzera shava with a similar word, that's what you do. If there's no, not just similar, when there's no, the way gzera shava works is if you can make a gzera shava with the exact word, that's what you do. You can't make a gzera shava with an exact word, you do the most similar word to it. Okay, so the Gemara says the following. So therefore, what we just did is, once again, we knocked out Karbanos. So we'll say, well, here's where we're holding. So what we've done is, so far, we've got our paradigm for sequestration. Preparation is where? Is what? I should say, paradigm. Miluin. That's the paradigm, the miluin. And so far, what we've done is, lechaper. So we know we have an extra phrase by miluin. La'asos lechaper aleichem. So two possibilities. Either la'asos means para aduma, and lechaper aleichem means Yom Kippur. And therefore, again, Yom Kippur and para aduma are included in this paradigm of sequestration preparation. That's possibility one. Possibility two is, even if you want to say la'asos lechaper aleichem, bless you, refers to Yom Kippur, all Yom Kippur, we've still got para aduma in the sequestration preparation paradigm. How? Gzeira shava of tziva tziva. It says tziva by miluim. It says tziva ultimately by paraduma, and therefore paraduma is still in sequestration preparation paradigm. So the Gemara goes weiter. Lechaper ilu ma'asim kippurim. So remember, Abba said the one part that everybody seemed to agree on is that lechaper refers to Yom Kippur. So the Gemara says, but I ve'ema kapara de karbanos. So maybe not. Maybe lechaper means general karbanos. So Abba said, remember the Torah uses lashon of lechaper by karbanos in general. Had no that applies to Yom Kippur. And maybe what the Torah is saying is what Abba said. Like what we just said before, that maybe there's a sequestration preparation period for what? Every single time you do a karban. Every single time. Gemara says that can't be. Mi adina and hey koin misrami de bayle prishe. So the Gemara says, well, how do you know, right? Logistically, you couldn't do that. Why logistically couldn't you do that? Because at the end of the day, do you know which coin is going to be on call? Right, Rabbi said, remember again, there are a lot of kohanim. So how would you, in sequestration preparation by definition requires that what? That you're going to know the coin is going to do the avoda. Do you actually know that for any given date? Which the Gemara says, why not? Alama loni boyle prisha lukule mishmeres base av. So yes, you can. Rabbi said, remember, there are 24 mishmoros. Each mishmar served 1 week, and each mishmar was divided up into bate avos, literally into families. And each family served 1 day of that week. Everybody served together on Shabbos. So yes, you absolutely have a rotation. You know, so on any, certainly you know a week out. So why don't you just sequester the entire base av? So let's say we're one base av, if we're one family, we know we're going to be serving on Monday. So sequester and prepare us the following week before. What's the big deal? To which the Gemara says, donin davar shekavua lozman, mi davar shekavua lozman. It's because we dash in something that has a set time from something that has a set time. Rabbi said, what does that mean? That, remember, halacha lemaisa, the miluim had a set time. The miluim had a set time. And Yom Kippur has a set time. So therefore, we learn out Yom Kippur, which has a set time, from miluim that has a set time. Even though, again, Rabbi said, remember, the set time of miluim was only one time in history, but it was still a set time when it occurred. La'afuke karbonos dechol yoma isnu. But this comes to exclude karbonos, because karbonos apply each and every day. So the Gemara says, "Ve'imu regalim." So Rabbi said, if that's the case, maybe we should include regalim. After Rabbi said, and say that before the regalim, remember, whichever kohanim are going to be on call for regalim, offering their kavanos of the regalim should be questioned and prepared. Sequestered and prepared. To which the Gemara says, "Donin davar shenoi pam achas b'shana, mi davar hanoi pam achas b'shana." We darshin something that occurs once a year from something that occurs once. The miluim occurred once a year, one time in the year, and therefore we learn out from there what? Yom Kippur, which occurred one time in the year. La'afuki regalim, the la'af pam'achas v'shanenhu. But the regular Rav Osai occurred three times a year. So maybe say that sequestration and preparation doesn't apply to all the regalim. Maybe it applies to what? Just one of the regalim. But you're going to say, okay, that's fine. Which regal? I'm going to give you two suggestions. Maybe maybe it's Pesach. Why Pesach? Because it's the first regal. It's the first regal. Or Ichagasukos. Or maybe it's Sukkis, because Sukkis has the most mitzvos associated with it. Elo donin prishas shiva liyomechad, me prishas shiva liyomechad. Rabbi say no. So what's the model? The model of miluim is what Rabbi say. 7 day sequestration preparation for 1 day event, and therefore what we learn from the miluim is what another time where there is 7 day preparation for 1 day event. What follows that model? Yom Kippur. However, ve'ein done in prishas shiva l'shiva. But you, therefore, I will say the sequestration preparation model could not work for the regalim. Why? Because the regalim would be 7 days. There would be 7 days sequestration for 7 days events. Shavuos still has a din of 7 days because you have tashlumin. Because if you don't, remember, we actually saw this, if you don't bring your Shalmei Chagiga on Shavuos, you still have a week afterwards to make that up. So it's even though it's a one-day observance, it has the status of a seven-day Chag. So the Gemara says, Ve'ema Shmini Depreciates Shiva, excuse me, Ve'ema Shmini. So we'll say, oh, I'll give you a good example, I'll give you a good one. Shmini Atzeres. Shmini Atzeres. So let's say, because Shmini Atzeres is 1 day, so let's do a seven-day sequestration preparation for a one-day Chag, to which the Gemara says, Depreciates Shiva, that's a model of seven day sequestration for 1 day event. Stigma says, no. Dunin davar shein kedusha lefanov, mi davar shein kedusha lefanov. No, because we'll say, what's the model of miluim? Miluim is a model of 7 day sequestration for 1 day, and that 1 day had no prior sanctified period before it. Therefore, anything that's going to resemble the miluim paradigm is also going to have the 1 day is not preceded by 7 days of sanctity. Therefore, again, I will say that's why Yom Kippur falls into this model as well. But we will not dash in something that has kedusha in front of it from something that doesn't have kedusha. So to learn out Shmini Atzeres, which has 7 days of Yom Tov before it, that does not resemble the miluim paradigm. Also, remember again, this is actually very simple Gemara because it all boils down to one thing. In order to be included, miluim is the paradigm for, well, actually, I'll summarize it afterwards. So the Gemara says, v'lav kal v'chomer, is this not a kal v'chomer? Hashta davar she'in kedusha lefana boi prisha. And I will say again, if something that does not have kedusha in front of it requires sequestration preparation, davar she'yesh kedusha lefana lo kol shekein, there's something that has kedusha before it, should certainly require sequestration preparation. So maybe, again, Shmini Atzeres is our another example of, again, and remember, I will say, it's seven-day preparation for one-day event, and now it has kedusha before it, but if that's a kavach omer, if the miluim, which didn't have kedusha before it, requires 7 days sequestration preparation for the 8th day, certainly what? Shmini Atzeres, which does have yimei kedusha, so it should require 7 days sequestration preparation, to which the Gemara answers, Amar Misharshia lo. And Misharshia says, no. What does the pasuk say? Rabbo say, hazeh ksiv kazeh. Rabbo say, what does the pasuk say by the miluim? The pasuk says, kasher osa bayom hazeh. Torah Dafka says, Hazeh, it has to be a day that resembles the Miluim. And if it doesn't resemble the Miluim, then it's not included in the paradigm. So Rabbo said, what comes out is the following. Again, to put this all just in, we're not finished with this sugi, but we'll stop here for today in the Gemara. What comes out from this Gemara is the following. Miluim is our paradigm, for sequestration preparation. And in order to go ahead and be included in the Miluim paradigm, you mamish have to resemble miluim in totality. What resembles miluim in totality? So far what we have is there are two possibilities, Yom Kippur and Paraduma. Both represent days of where, again, it's one day event, preceded by seven days, which themselves are not consecrated. But can we find scriptural allusions for them in the Pasuk of miluim itself? The answer is by Yom Kippur, yes. Where do we see it by Yom Kippur? Lechaper. The chaper, atonement, because remember, both said that whole last phrase of the miluim pasuk is extra. So the chaper comes to include Yom Kippur. But is para aduma included in the pasuk? And what's the answer to that?
Yeah.
Two possibilities. Two. It's possible in two ways. Possibility one is what? From what phrase? What word? Lasos. Lasos. Maybe that includes para aduma. On the other hand, maybe lasos the chaper is all Yom Kippur. So what's the other possibility? Gzereshava of Tziva Tziva. It could be that the Gzereshava Tziva Tziva, remember it says Tziva by Paraduma, Tziva by Miluim, that ultimately goes in and comes to include Paraduma in the sequestration preparation paradigm of the Miluim. I will say, I just want to end off with something very interesting. Going back to the beginning, I saw there's a Shalos HaTshuvos Chedvas Yaakov. The Shalos HaTshuvos Chedvas Yaakov is, I don't sit around learning Shalos HaTshuvos Chedvas Yaakov in my free time. I saw it quoted in another sefer. But Rav Chedvas Yaakov was written by Rav Yaakov Zemest, who lived, he died in 1747 in Frankfurt. He was one of the Dayanim in Frankfurt. And he makes a very interesting diuk in the Mishnah. He says, I just want to try to leave you with a little nugget. He says, if you look in the Mishnah, it's interesting that the Torah said, the Mishnah says that in the second line, umaskinam lo kohen acher tachtov, that they appointed another kohen, a kohen acher tachtov, another kohen. So the Chedvas Yaakov says, why does it have to say acher? Why doesn't it just say kohen tachtov? Right? They appointed another kohen and said, why acher? And I want to quote you. He says, I copied this down. I don't have a copy machine home. So it's not a hint. I'm not like hint. You know? he says like this. I really always wanted a Xerox machine, yeah, if possible. So he said. Listen to this. He says umaskinon koin acher. Listni stam umaskinon koin lama tani acher. Such an interesting deal. You don't need the word acher. Just say umat umitakinon koin tachtov. They put why acher. Listen to this deal. He says, "V'tzarech lomar mishum dema demitakinon lo mishum de'avdinon le tzara." Because what's part of the point of appointing another assistant kohen gadol is to create the tzara. And I'll say, "What's a tzara? Tzara is the lashon used by a co-wife." Now, why do Chazal call the second wife a tzara? Because it creates incredible animosity within the marriage. Because each wife is vying for the attention of the husband. So the Chedvas Yaakov makes such an amazing observation. He says, what do? We want the Kohen Gadol to be vigilant. What's the best way to get someone to be vigilant in their job, to overperform? What's the best way? So by the way, if you mess up, that guy, he is biting at the chump for your job. He would love nothing more. Who wouldn't want to be the Kohen Gadol? He's sitting there, right? He's waving to you very nice. Aye, right? Just be careful. Just know that if you mess up, again, it's not your fault, but if you mess up, there is someone mamish waiting, salivating, in a healthy way, to just get right in there into the Kohen Gadol. And watch this. That's why he says, "Bizehu rak kishemitakinon lo kohen acher." So what does acher say? "Hainu lo echad mibanav." You see, you might have thought that who's going to be the logical person to go ahead and put as the assistant? You'll get the Kohen Gadol's son. Says Rav Yaakov Zemes, no, they would not appoint his son. Who would they get? They would get some other person. You have to, of course, be fit. Why not his son? Because they're both saying, there's a natural rivalry with every other individual. There's only one person you don't have a rivalry with, and that's who? That's your child. Because when it comes to your child, actually, what every parent actually wants is what? I want my child to eclipse me. I want my child to outshine me. So here it says, Rav Yaakov Zemes, something amazing. If the backup Kohen Gadol they would appoint is my son, so the truth is it would give me nachas, right? To see me. Again, of course, I'm going to be vigilant, but the truth is it doesn't light the fire under me in order to go ahead and do what I'm supposed to do. Because what's the worst case scenario? Baruch Hashem, I'm going to get to sit there on Yom Kippur and with everybody else. I'm going to see my son doing the avodah. Lo nechshav etzel otzar. Say for the Chedvas Yaakov, right? Such an amazing insight. Maskinin lo kohen acher tachtav. Acher means what? Not from the family. It's not your kid. There's someone else in the corner there waiting to take your place. And what does that do? It energizes the kohen to go ahead and do his job correctly. And also, I think it's such an incredible musr. You know, the reality is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we always ask, like, are we really needed? And the answer is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not need us. He doesn't need us for anything. So if he doesn't need us, then what is life all about? HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us this chus, the opportunity to partner with him to bring about certain realities in this world. We have the privilege to partner with God to create certain results in this world for ourselves and for others. But the reality is, if we don't rise to the occasion, if we choose not to live up to our potential responsibilities, then what? Then what? There's always someone else waiting to do our job. And the truth is, that's what has to energize us as well. We have an incredible zechus. And it's okay. If we don't do it, the world's not going to fall apart. God's not going to sit there, bury his hands, and, you know, his head in his hands and start to cry, because there's always someone else. And the same way that ultimately part of what energized the Kohen Gadol was, I better keep on my toes because someone else is chomping at the bit, to realize that there are so many people, so many others that would vie for the opportunities we have in life, for the opportunities we have to bring shleimus to this world. So just like the Kohen Gadol was inspired by the fact that his job was unique, but others could do it, we should be inspired the same. All right, we'll see.